I want to share with you two love stories. The first love story, I'm going to embarrass my wife. And it's the love story of how Laura Lynn and I came to know each other and to get married. In every good love story, there's an object of the love and there's a pursuer, isn't there? In any good love story you see on TV or theater or whatever, there's the object that's being pursued and there's the pursuer. Well, in the first love story, Laura Lynn is the object being pursued, and I was the pursuer. I first met Laura Lynn when she was probably 3 or 4 years old. We grew up in the jungles of Gabon, Central Africa. We went to boarding school together down at a little place called Bongolo in the south of the country. And at that point, I don't particularly remember pursuing Laura Lynn, but her father apparently does. Her parents were our dorm parents for a period of time, and he says that at night when we would sit down at the dinner table, that I would pull Laura Lynn's chair out and seat her at the table. And he claims that our romance began many years ago when she was probably 3 or 4, I was 9 or 10 years old. I think he's making it up, actually. My family had to leave Africa when I was 10 years old, and it was 13 years later that Laura Lynn and I met at Tocoa Falls College. I was a fifth-year senior, and she was a freshman, and I was not dating anyone, and I knew I was heading towards the mission field, and I knew Laura Lynn's family, but hadn't seen her in all those years, and she had changed delightfully in those years. I was immediately interested in Laura Lynn, but the problem was there were other pursuers that were also interested in her, and so I had to sort of bide my time. And finally, the opportunity came for me to ask her out on a date. It was probably near the end of that first semester. And back in the day, we had what were called artist series at Tocoa. They would bring in these opera singers or artists, and you were required to go to these because it was supposed to make you cultured. And since we were required to go, I thought this is an opportunity to ask Laura Lynn on a date. And so I walked up towards her dorm in the middle of the campus, and there she was, standing on the steps of her dorm, but she was talking with an upperclassman friend of mine that I knew was also interested in Laura Lynn. And I thought, Al, you need to act quickly here. And I thought to myself, I speak French, having grown up in Africa, and she speaks French, but he doesn't understand any French. And so I yelled out across the campus in French and said, Laura Lynn, would you go out to meet with me tonight to the artist series? And she replied back in French and accepted. And this guy's face just dropped, and he said, he just asked you out, didn't he? And she said, yes. And so I tell everyone that French is one of the romantic languages, for sure. That was the beginning of our relationship, and it eventually led us to going back to Gabon as missionaries ourselves, and the rest is history. But in that relationship, I was the pursuer. In the relationship that God has with this world, with people, God is the pursuer, and we are the object of God's love. The Bible tells us very clearly that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever comes to Him does not need to perish, but can have a relationship, can have everlasting life. God is the pursuer. It says in Ezekiel 34, I myself will search for my sheep. I will look after them. I will rescue them from the places where they are scattered. I will bring them out from the nations. I will search for the lost. And the idea of search there is pursue. I will pursue those that are lost. God is a pursuing God. Because God is a pursuing God, He says, I'm also slow to fulfill my plans for people. He says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And you know, it's often easy for us to give up on people, isn't it? But it isn't easy for God to give up on people. And God is a pursuing God. If there was ever a people group that God could have given up on, it's the Vili people of southern Congo. The Vili people had been in contact with Westerners for over 450 years. They are a people group that live along the coast, going all the way from Gabon, down the coast, through the two Congos, all the way down to Angola. And when the Portuguese slave traders came to Central Africa in the 1400s, the Vili were the slave traders. They were the middlemen in the slave trade. And because of that, they became hated. They became despised by the other people groups. They had been in contact with the gospel. Missionaries had worked in that part of Central Africa for many, many years. And yet, for all of those years, the Vili were never responsive to the gospel, were always resistant. I remember hearing, even as a boy, and then later on as a missionary in Gabon, about the Vili, and we would pray for the Vili people, that somehow they would be reached. And yet they were very, very resistant to the gospel. Several years ago, Jay and Bev Bellamy, who had been working in Congo and had a heart to reach the Vili people, had come home on home assignment. And at that point, the Christian Missionary Alliance, because of funding, because of needing to send missionaries to reinforce other teams, we had made the decision that we were going to close the Congo field. We were not going to send them back. But they came home and they pleaded with leadership and they said, we believe that the Vili, if we would try this new approach of the gospel, and they had just been researching and learning about orality and using oral story methods to share the gospel, and they said, we feel like we need to give this one last try. Can't we go back? And so Alliance leadership said, we'll send you back on one condition, that you go back and that God raises up a team around you. We don't want you working alone, but that God would raise up a team around you. And so they went back and they began to pray that God would raise up this team. Well, the district superintendent in in Pointe Noire, in that area where the Vili live, assigned a pastor by the name of Willie, Pastor Willie, to be a part of their team. Pastor Willie had worked with many missionaries over the years. They had tried all kinds of strategies, and still the Vili were resistant. And he thought to himself, I'll do this, but it's not going to work. This new approach of orality, it's this new strategy that the Westerners want to try. I'll do it, but it's just not going to work. And he was very skeptical. A few months after they had been back in Pointe Noire, one day there was a knock at the gate. And they opened the gate, and there standing in front of them was a person that at first a man they did not recognize. He was emaciated. Obviously in the last stages of AIDS, HIV, and he was dying. And as they began to talk, they realized that this was Davi, a young man who had been a guard for them several years earlier. Davi had grown up in a home where his father was actually an Alliance pastor. His mother was a Vili speaker. She was Vili. He had walked away from the Lord, got involved in a promiscuous lifestyle, had contracted HIV, and now was at the end of his life. And he was holding the hand of his young daughter, and he had brought her to the Bellamys to ask if they would raise his daughter after he passed away. They invited Davi to come in. They heard his story. And they felt like they had to do something, and so they took Davi to the best clinic that they knew of in the town of Port-Gentil, admitted him there for treatment. And there was an American doctor that was part of the mercy ships that happened to be in port at that time, and he came to the clinic and examined Davi, and he went home and reported to Jay and Bev that he probably had maximum two weeks to live. There on his deathbed, Davi had an encounter with the Lord. And the Lord said to him, David, I am not through with you. I have a purpose for you, and I'm going to raise you up out of this bed, and you're going to be healed. And 3 weeks later, David walked out of that clinic, touched, raised up, and strengthened. And as he began to talk with Jay and Bev, he realized that the call of God on his life, the reason God had spared his life, was to go to the Vili people. He was a Vili speaker because his mom had spoken Vili. And he had an encounter with Christ, and he joined their team. David began to share his faith with others down and outers, and he would go to the hospitals. And there was a young man that began to come and sleep on the floor of the Alliance Church where David attended. This young man was crippled, and David began to witness to Bachi, this young man, and share his faith, and Bachi came to the Lord. Bachi was a Vili. His mom and father were Vili. He had been a very intelligent young man in high school. His parents had sent him to the capital city of Pointe Noire, the provincial capital, to get a degree, and he came down with this virus that crippled him. And now his family, feeling now he's crippled, he can't meet the needs of the family. They had rejected him. They had thrown him out of the home, and he was sleeping on the floor of the Alliance Church. And there David led him to Christ, and Bachi knew that God had a purpose for him, and that was to reach his own people, the Vili. And so God brought this team around the Bellamy's. It probably isn't the team they would have chosen, a skeptical pastor, a guy on his deathbed, and a cripple who had just come to Christ. And yet God brought this team around Jay and Bev in order to reach the Vili people. They began to take the stories of the Bible, the great themes of the Bible, the creation, sin entering the world, the fall, the flood, and all of these big narrative themes that explain God's purposes for the world. And they began to translate them and put them into the Vili language. And eventually the day came that they were ready to go to the Vili people and to try out these themes. They had no idea how this would go. And so they went out to the first, the main village of the Vili people, which is the village of Ubi. And Davi and Pastor Willie went alone, and they were going to spend a week. And they just went out to the village and prayed, God, would you lead us to people to share these stories with? They had put these stories on these little recorders called Mega Voice recorders, and they were in the Vili language. And so when they got there to the village of Ubi, they went to introduce themselves to the chief of the village. And they said, would you allow us to play these stories for you? It's the story of God. And he said, yes, go ahead. And so they began to play the story of the creation and then the fall and sin and then the flood and how God had spared Noah's life. And as this chief sat and listened to these stories, and then at the end they shared how this tied in with God redeeming the world, that God loved the Vili people. This chief was the first to accept Christ among the people in his village. That evening, they walked out and they saw an old man sitting in his courtyard. And unbeknownst to them, this man was a powerful sorcerer in that village. They walked up to him and they said, would you allow us to come and to share these stories with you? And this sorcerer invited them into his hut. And they said the children around the outside that were watching sort of gasped as they walked into the sorcerer's hut. And there in his dim hut, they put on these stories. And the sorcerer listened to the stories. And when he listened to the story of the fall and the consequences of the fall and the way that separated man from God, he stopped them and he said, you mean that is the source of all of my suffering? Do you mean that is why I'm cursed? You mean that is why I have no peace? That's why my family has rejected me? And they were able to explain the gospel to this sorcerer. And he prayed and asked Christ into his heart. And after he prayed that prayer, he said, but what about these spirits that are around us? Tell them to go away. And they prayed in Jesus' name. And he looked up and he said, I'm free, I'm free. And this man was transformed by the power of Christ. As they continued from village to village, the same thing would happen. They would go up to a courtyard. They would say, can we allow you to listen to these stories? And these Vili who had never heard the Bible, the scriptures in their language, would say, this is the first time we have heard this. They had heard it before, but never in their own language. And they would say, we never knew that this Creator God wanted to have a relationship with us. And one after another, Vili began to give their hearts to Christ. It was the end of that first week, and early the morning of their last day, Pastor Willie and Davi they began to walk to the next village. And as they were walking, it was probably several hours' walk, a truck came by on the road early in the morning, and it happened to be somebody that Pastor Willie knew from Pointe Noire. And he was out doing some business in that area, and he picked them up, and he said, I'll take you to the next town, which is the town of Sintu, and I'll drop you off. And as they were driving along, they were talking, and as they entered Sintu, they were going to get down out at a school, and that's where they were going to start, but they went right by the school to the other end of the village before they realized they were already halfway through the village, and they said, oh, stop, and let us off here. And so they got down right there, and we're going to walk back to the school. But right where they got down, they looked over, and there was a courtyard, and there was a man and his wife sitting in the courtyard, and they thought to themselves, let's just start right here. And so they went up, and they began to talk to the man. His name was Jacques, and his wife's name was Solange. And they said, could we share these stories with you? And they invited him in, and they began to share these stories. But as soon as they began to play the recording, there was a voice coming from the hut behind them, says, men of God, men of God, and in Vili. And Solange said, Mother, be quiet. When we're done, they'll come in. But this voice kept saying, men of God, men of God. Well, they shared several stories. They just sat there, but this voice kept going, coming from the hut, men of God. And so finally, Solange said, this is my mother, and she's sick, and she's not able to walk, and she's wanting you to go in and see her. And so I want to pick up the story. I transcribed this from a recording that Pastor Willie gave of a testimony of what happened when they went into that hut. He said, the voice from the hut got louder and more insistent. Servants of God, come and save me. Jacques' wife Solange explained that her mother was very sick and could only lie on a mat in the house. The pleas got louder and louder, and suddenly there was an old lady in the doorway of the house, crawling on all fours. Solange jumped up and said, don't worry, Mama. When they're done here, they'll come in to see you. Go down and go back and lie down. But the lady said to her daughter excitedly, see what I told you. I dreamed that I saw a taxi stop in front of our parcel and two men dressed in white get out. And a man standing beside me said, here are the men who are going to save you. I was lying in my bed a little while ago, and as soon as I heard these men say the name of Jesus, I knew they were the men that God was sending. That's why I was calling out, you see, what I told you has come true. The daughter turned to us and said, she says she knew you were coming. When we finished praying with the couple outside, we went in to see Mama Pauline, the crippled lady. The Lord showed me that you servants of God would come to this village today. He showed me that you would pray for me and that I would be healed and saved. I am very sick. I can't even walk on two feet. This is Pastor Willie speaking. He said, I said, Mama, we will give you what we have. We have the name of Jesus Christ. Do you accept to receive Jesus in your heart as Savior and Lord to save you? Yes, she replied, I want to accept him now. Receive Jesus then, I said. We're going to pray for you now, but I'm not going to say many words. I'm going to give you only what I have. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Get up, Mama. And she stood up. Walk, I said. And she walked. Mama, you are saved. Pauline was smiling broadly through her tears and said, Now if I die, I don't have to worry. Solange was beside herself crying for joy and saying over and over again, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Salvation had come to that home. And by the end of that week, salvation had come into the lives of 53 Vili that had prayed to ask Christ into their hearts. Pastor Willie, as he was giving this testimony, said, I have never in all of my years seen anything like this. Since that first trip that Pastor Willie and Davi took 2 years ago, well, over 2 years ago now, over 200 Vili have placed their faith in Christ. Amen. The gospel has been preached in 11 Vili villages. And many, many of those villages, there are now communities of faith that are meeting. Other villages walk to the next village to gather together to worship. Among those that have received Christ are Bachi's own family that had rejected him and kicked him out of the home. And they are now believers. 3 mornings a week, the villagers from these different places walk to the central village and they share about how they've gone out and shared these stories with others in their villages or in the neighboring villages. Every Saturday, there are 70 kids that come from neighboring villages to Ubi, and they're taught through an oral way of teaching in the Vili language. They're taught stories of God. And it just continues to grow because God broke into a place and into the lives of a people that for all intents and purposes we had given up on, who for hundreds of years had rejected the gospel. And yet God is a pursuing God. And God had not given up on them. Not too long ago, some of the Vili leaders now in that church came to Jay, and they said, Pastor, there is a group of Congolese from another tribe. They're from the bordering country of the other Congo, and they have never heard these stories. And we felt that maybe God is calling us to take this story to them, and so we have planted a separate field, our own fields, but we've planted a separate field, and we're going to raise crops in that field and sell them and use that money to be able to go and tell these people these stories. Do you think that's okay? And Pastor Jay said, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, and they have a heart to share the gospel because their lives have been so transformed. Friends, this morning, although the context changes and the story changes and the narrative changes depending on where you're at, the message never changes. And the message is this, that God is a pursuing God. And God is a God that breaks into impossible situations. And God is a God who still chooses broken, feeble jars of clay in order to accomplish His plan and His will and to write His story. And that story has never changed. It never will change. God will always be a pursuing God. And so this morning, as we bring this time to a close, I just want to say a couple things. First of all, I hope you're encouraged that there isn't any situation where God stops pursuing. And there isn't a situation where His love can't break through. Even after 400 plus years, God continued to pursue the Vili people. And you may be facing a situation in your family, a situation where you have tried to share your faith and you just think it's not even worth it. God could never break through to this person. And you feel like giving up on them. I want to say this morning to you that God isn't giving up on them. And that God is a pursuing God. And in His timing, He wants to use us as broken vessels to make a difference. As you look at yourself, as I look at myself, I often have thought, God, how can you use me? You know, how can you use me? God desires to use us in our brokenness. That's the best place to be. Because it allows His power to be seen in us and to work through us. So if you're sensing that you're in a place of brokenness and you can't be used by God, you're right where God wants you. You're right where God wants you. But friends, this morning there are thousands of people groups like the Vili around the world that God has not given up on. And He's asking ordinary people like you and like me to do something about it. And there are hundreds of CNMA workers around the world in many of these places where others have given up, where it seems there's so much resistance. And they're out there trying to be the hands and feet of God and the voice of Christ. But they can't do it alone. They can't do it alone. And they're depending on people like us to be there holding the ropes in prayer, in giving, in supporting. If it had not been for Alliance people like yourselves giving, we would never have been able to send the Bellamys back to Congo. We would have closed the field. But because there were generous people that gave, because there was actually a generous donor that said, I will pay the rent for them to go back and live there, we were able to send the Bellamys back. And God used them. Because there were people praying, and I can tell you of years, I could name individual after individual that prayed for the Vili people. Because people were praying, God answered and broke through to that people. And God is calling on us as an Alliance family to be engaged and to be committed to going to the hard places, to going to the people who for years have resisted Him. Because God is able and He's a pursuing God. And He's not giving up on those people, and neither should we. And so as we close this morning, I'm going to ask you, are you part of that family that is saying, I'm going to give my life to this? I'm going to give my life to something of eternal value that's going to count. Last Monday, Davi passed into the presence of his Savior, April 29th. But God had raised him up from his deathbed and gave him over 4 good years to make a difference, to have an impact. And he gave himself fully to that. I was with Davi in February of 2017. And he said to me he was still struggling with the results of having the AIDS, the virus, struggling with AIDS, a sickly man. And yet he said, Pastor, whenever I'm in the village, I'm strong. I have strength that I can't explain. I can go from morning to night, and I'm not fazed. As soon as I come back into town, I become sick and I become weak. And my desire is to go back to the village and to be able to share these stories with the Vili people. That's when I just sensed the Lord's presence and the Lord's strength and the Lord's healing with me. And for 4 years, Davi gave himself to that. And because of that, there are hundreds of Ely people who are now children of God. I want to ask you this morning, what is it that you're giving your life to? And does it have eternal reward? Does it have an eternal impact? I want to encourage you this morning that if God would so speak to you, that you would say, Lord, that's the type of life I want to live. I want to be like Davi. I want to come to the end of my life and say, God, where I invested, it counted. It made a difference for eternity. I want to say this morning a huge thank you. As I represent many of our international workers around the world, I just want to say a huge thank you and a blessing over you for those of you who have faithfully prayed and faithfully given to support the work that we're doing around the world. It's not our work. It's God's work. But you've been a part of it. You've been a part of writing that story in the lives of so many people like the Vili around the world. And I just want to just genuinely say thanks for that. But I want to also challenge you that if the Lord would so lay on your heart to take you to a different level of prayer, to take you to a different level of giving, that you would say, Lord, I'll do that. Because I want to see these stories written other places. Because, God, I know you're pursuing God, and I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. So let me just pray for us, and then we're going to move to a time of just taking the last offering for the GCF. And I just want to pray as we close this part of the service. And just as we're here in the Lord's presence, and the Lord may have spoken to you in some particular way, would you, in the quietness of these moments, just voice to Him what it is that He said to you? Maybe there's some commitment. Maybe there's just a sense of hope of some situation that you have just for a long time felt was impossible. And God has spoken hope into you that He is still pursuing God. Whatever it is, would you express that to Him in these moments as I close this in prayer? Father, we're so grateful that the story that you're writing is not our story, it's your story. We're so grateful, God, that you are pursuing God and that the people of this world are the object of your love. That there is not a situation that's impossible for you. And Father, that you choose to use broken people. You choose to use us in ways that maybe we don't even understand or could never conceive of, and yet you choose to use us. I'm just very grateful for that, Father. I pray that you would speak by your Holy Spirit into our hearts this morning and show us, Lord, if there's some step of obedience that you would have us to take, some level of trust that you want to take us to, Lord, that we've never experienced before. Maybe, Lord, it's just to express gratitude to you. Joyfulness, Lord, for what you're doing. You're a God that's alive. You're at work. So we honor you. Just very grateful to be a part of writing this story of history, Lord, that you're weaving together. So show us, Lord, in very concrete ways how you would have us respond to you in the days ahead. Whatever the situation is that we're facing or whatever it is you're calling us to, we want to be obedient. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.